Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. And time was when there were two kinds of people in the world, those who had iPhones and those who envied them. That time is beginning to pass, at least a little bit, as more companies issue iPhone competitors, especially the new Droid that works on the Verizon network that they're promoting heavily, unthinkable as it is, as better than the iPhone. Maybe you've seen commercials like this on TV in the last few weeks. And with all that intergalactic fanfare, you can only imagine the visuals. The Droid ad campaign emphasizes that there are things that the Droid does that the iPhone doesn't. But Apple still has its fierce loyalists, so we decided that as a public service to make you potential smartphone buyers smarter still, we have invited two WNYC producers who are in the midst of an ongoing smackdown over just this question that we are told has raged from the offices of WNYC to the sauna in their gym. Jim Colgan, website producer for The Takeaway, is here in Apple's corner. Mark Phillips, producer for On the Media, is here to display his Droid love publicly. Hi, guys.
Hey. How's it going?
And listeners, you can get on this with opinions or questions, iPhone or Droid, 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Mark, you gave us a 5-point list of Droid advantages over the iPhone. So let's just go down this list here a little bit and see if you can put the exalted iPhone on the defensive at all. The first thing on your list is applications running in the background. You mean the Droid multitasks and the iPhone doesn't?
Exactly. And the applications become so much more useful when they're always running. Like the weather app, which is just so simple. On the iPhone, if you want to check the weather, you have to click the weather app, you have to wait for it to load, and then, you know, 30 seconds later, you see what the temperature is. On the Droid, it's always running. Right now, at the top of my screen, it says it's 47 degrees, and, you know, if I want more details, I can pull it down and see that it might rain later, and then I can click on it, and then it launches the full app. But it's always running. I don't need to check it like you do on the iPhone.
You want to give another example of something that's always running?
Yeah, there's one called Locale, which right now it knows I'm at work. So it put my phone on vibrate. When I get home, it puts my ringer on high. And that wouldn't work if you had to launch the application every time you wanted it to know, because then you would just change the vibrate or the ringer.
Wait, the phone knows you're at work?
Yes.
Through GPS?
Yes. I programmed it to know when I'm at the gym, when I'm at work, when I'm at home. You can also program it for when the battery's low, for late at night. And I don't want
my phone to know I'm at work.
Why not? This way my ringer will never ring and disturb a meeting at work. And, the iPhone, you can't run programs all the time because you have to run one at a time.
So you care about this one at a time thing, Jim?
Well, so here's the thing. The whole setup of this and the whole reason probably why we're doing it is because the Droid is trying to say how different it is from the iPhone. So it's basing its whole campaign on what the iPhone is not. So I think they're clearly playing defensive and trying to have one of these yet another Apple killer. So like you had when the iPod became so popular, there were all these supposed iPod killers, and now we're hearing, and we've heard this even last year, that's yet another iPhone killer. And there's a reason why the iPhone has persisted, and there's a reason why the iPod has persisted, and it's just because Apple is amazing at simplicity in design. Like, they strip everything down to only what you need, and they do what you need incredibly well, which is why I don't care about my iPhone really not knowing why I'm not at work. I'm sure if I could probably find an app that did that. But
it would have to run all the time, which you can't do on the iPhone.
Well, here's the thing. So on that point of whether iPhones... So it's true, the iPhone runs one app at a time. The reason why it does that, their designers could do that. They chose not to. The same way they chose not to build a keyboard. The same reason why they chose not to do lots of things, because the main thing is it wastes battery power. You waste, like... I don't know what it is, but two or three times the amount of battery power just by running more than one app.
Well,
so I don't need to. On such a small phone, it's not a desktop computer. I don't want to have four different apps open. It's only got one tiny screen.
Well, so, but it's my choice. So on the Droid, I can open up the battery profile, and it shows what apps are using what percentage of the battery. So if I decide, oh, locale, it's using 7% of the battery, maybe that's too much. I'm going to stop using this application. It's
my choice.
How much
battery power does your battery power app take up?
That's part of the Android OS, which is 3% right now. So, but it's my choice instead of some guy in California deciding that, oh, you know what, they should only run one application at a time. And that also brings up the issue of Apple approves or disapproves of apps, and apps have to go through Apple in order to make it to your phone. Some really useful apps have been denied by Apple. There was one that was a podcast collector, and they said, iTunes does it just fine. You don't get to use this third-party podcast collector.
Ooh, shades of Microsoft.
Yeah.
Exactly. But also shades of, like, the PC-Mac wars of the past decade. And anyone I know who I trust has a Mac, and they don't use a PC. Not that I don't trust people who have PCs, but anyone who's technology savviness, I respect, uses a Mac and an OS X. And let me tell you...
Listeners, by the way, Jim speaks for himself. We do trust our listeners who own PCs. But anyway, go ahead.
It is true. It's not that...
Can I ask you about the keyboard? Because you mentioned the slide-out keyboard. And here is something that... and people can see the video of this. We're videotaping the segment later on our video page, wnyc.org/video. But with the iPhone, you have to be able to use the touchscreen keypad. And, you know, sometimes it's easy to miss a key and hit the wrong key, and people don't want to take out their stylus and use that all the time. You can slide out a little keyboard here on the Droid. Is that a good thing?
Ask Mark if he actually uses the keyboard.
I do actually use the keyboard. There's a virtual keyboard very, very similar to the iPhone keyboard that you can use vertically or horizontally. And I do use that a lot of the time because it works so well. But in certain circumstances, let's say I'm walking down the street, using a virtual keyboard is impossible when you're walking down the street, or if you're in a car, or especially if you're online on a web page trying to fill out your password or fill out your user info.
Which of these two phones is more likely to break in 3 months? This phone that I have open with this clunky keyboard that slides, or this phone that is completely stripped down, looks like something that landed from outer space, which is what that ad campaign tries to do. It's not going to break. I've had it for over a year now, and the keyboard is so intuitive. I had a BlackBerry after this, and that was my biggest hesitation. I was actually really excited last year when I heard all this hype about a Google phone. I was like, oh my God, I want a Google phone. I use Google all the time. Anything open source has got to be better. But it wasn't a Google phone. It was an HTC phone that used this Google OS. And this isn't a Google phone. It's a Motorola phone. So all this, I love the idea of open source and using Google as my phone, but this is a good product. It's not just an idea.
What about the weight? That with that extra layer of physical technology, that keyboard that slides out, that's a much heavier phone, isn't it?
It's heavier, for sure.
2 ounces heavier.
2 pounds.
2 pounds.
But it also has some hardware features besides the keyboard that I prefer. The screen is much higher resolution. It's a little bit bigger. And one thing that no one's talking about is, see this little green dot here that's flashing? It's an LED light. So that tells me that I have a message. And right now, someone has just G-chatted me. And that's so I know that's going on. So I don't have to unlock my phone and look like iPhone people do all the time, and it's really obnoxious. You're in the middle of a conversation with them.
Yet another button cluttering up the design.
Listeners, it is getting hot out on the street with Droid loyalists and iPhone loyalists. And we should say that neither of you are getting paid by Verizon or Motorola or Apple or
AT&T.
You're just customers, right? These are local neighborhood tech geeks who really, really believe in their positions. Jim Colgan from The Takeaway and Mark Phillips from On the Media, 212-433-WNYC. And Ann in the Flatiron District wants to get in on this. Hi, Ann.
Hi. So? I just purchased the Droid this week, only because it's on the Verizon network. Otherwise, I would have gone for the iPhone because I've been using the iTouch for a year and a half. My biggest problem with the Droid, other than the fact that it does not have the same apps as an iPhone, is I use Yahoo as my email server. It's been having constant problems since the day I picked it up with my email.
There is that. And thank you very much.
And I think the Droid is especially good if you use Gmail, Google Calendar. It just works perfectly with Google services. And I wondered what would happen if you use Yahoo or Hotmail or another service. It probably doesn't work as well. But
and Jim, what is it with this iPhone, AT&T, exclusivity? Tons of people are going to get the Droid just because they don't have AT&T.
It's true, and I think it's the worst thing that Apple has against it. I really don't like AT&T service, but
also,
it works. But this is why. So if you wonder why so many people still get the iPhone, even though it doesn't have the superior network, it's because it's a far better phone.
Tom in Hudson Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tom.
Yes, in praise of the iPhone. It actually took me a long time to move to it. I was a Trio user, which is a little bit like a BlackBerry, and has a mechanical keyboard. It took me a while to learn how to use the touch keyboard, but it's such, the design is so excellent. And, you know, the apps open not in 30 seconds. The apps open in less than 2 seconds. They open immediately. There's no problem with not having one running in the background. And the screen is incredibly high resolution on the new ones. If you have a year-old iPhone, it's already been surpassed by the new ones. So it's a marvelous design.
Tom, thank you. And poor Trio. Remember when they were cutting edge? Doesn't seem like
well,
all that
is,
long
actually,
ago.
Well, actually, there is the Trio is actually
coming
what's
back.
It called again?
The Palm?
But it's
Palm Pre.
The Palm Pre is sort of the now version of the Trio,
yes.
Which is a competitor too. We should mention it's
right.
one
well,
of the available options.
Palm is kind of left in the dust. Way in third place after these two these days. Ab in Brick, we just took a caller for the iPhone. We'll take one for the Droid. Ab, you got to do it in 20 seconds.
All right. The Droid, I think it's going to be the ultimate killer because it's just it's going to be so much more user-friendly as far as apps are concerned. People can make their own apps and put it up against the Apple. I don't like the idea that Apple has to pre-screen these applications that users invent.
Can I just make another point? It's Apple, the iPhone, when it first came out, it did have a lot of people had a lot of complaints about it. They loved it, but they're like, you know, why can't I do things like cut and paste? And then in their next version, they did cut and paste. I think they're getting a lot of flack over this app issue. But if in terms of app usage, the iPhone has 100,000 apps versus the Droids. I think it's not even 13,000 now. So there are so much more, many more
you
available.
You just
now.
Hold up the Droid in your windshield and turn it into a GPS, right?
It has a service called Google Navigation, which really makes getting one of those GPS devices for your cars pointless. I mean, I used it. I was traveling for a week around the country. We were using that. I was checking my email. I was paying my Con Ed bill online and then toggling back over to Gmail to get my account number.
I do
number.
That all the time.
But you can't switch between apps like that and keep
them
running.
I have a map open. I close it down, and that's the GPS tracked where I am. And then I go and I open my email. I don't notice one thing closing and the other not.
I won't even bring my HTC Touch Pro 2 into this, which I love, but it runs on Windows Mobile, so it's completely disqualified from the entire debate. But we will give the last word to Nadia in Manhattan, writing on our comments page, who writes, I work in the Apple store in Manhattan. A couple came in yesterday. The guy wanted to buy an iPhone. The girl said, I have an Android, but we're going to make it work. Takeaway producer Jim Colgan. On the Media producer Mark Phillips. The phone wars continue. Thanks, guys.
Come back in 3 months and see whose phone is still working.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC.